Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to call in, ask a question. If you have a question about estate planning, about taxes, or about investing, my name is Chuck Price, President of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. And in the studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Kevin. And Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And listen, this is an opportunity for you to pick up the phone, ask us a question. There is no foolish question when it comes to your money, your tax bill, or your estate plan. You can reach us at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Or toll free, 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. I'm going to get right into the markets because we've had a very, very volatile market. And I'm going to just give a quick update on the on the markets where they closed this week. And in fact, first I'm going to talk about the annual basis. The Dow Jones closed at 17,568.53 on 7/24. It is actually negative 1.43% year-to-date. So it's negative year-to-date. On the other hand, the S&P closed at 2,079.65, and it's up 1.01%. But again, we're over halfway through the year, and these are two funds that historically, the 80 years prior to the turn of the century, had rates of return of around 7.5% to 8% to 10%. So you're talking a pretty big difference of return. The Dow Jones closing at 17,568.53. Where do we stand when we hit that all-time high on 10,907 of 14,164? Well, since that time, we are actually up over the nine and a half years. We were up 3.08% per year. That is not, to me, that is not a recovery. The Dow Jones, if we go back to 12/31/99, closed at 11,497.12. So for the first 14 years, 6 months, and three quarters of the new century, the Dow Jones is up 3.63% per year. How about the S&P? The S&P closed at 2,079.65. S&P closed at 1,565.15 on 10,907 for 7 years and 9.5 months. It's up 4.22%. Now, that's not a bad, you know, if you're comparing it to a savings account, pretty good rate. If you're comparing it to a stock account, that's not a really good rate. If we look at the S&P closing on 12/31/99 at 14.69, we are, for the turn of the century, 14 years, 6 3/4 months, it's up 2.85%. That's less than 3% to take a risk on growth funds in America for 14 years, 6 months, and 3 weeks. That's not good. The other thing is the 10-year bond rate. If you don't believe that bond rates and rates are being manipulated, you're living in fantasy land, because there's no reason for the interest rates to have went down last week. The 10-year treasury rate was 2.35 the week before. Last week, yesterday, it closed at 2.27. I see no logical reason why that rate would have went down, but it is what it is. Gold is also on the way down. Gold closed at 1,098 a week ago, is 1,131. Oil, The only thing I'd like to know is the oil's down, but I'd like to see my price at the gas pump go down a little bit. I'd be a little more happier with that, wouldn't you guys?
Yep.
Would be nice. Well, listen, I'm going to talk about something that I've discussed on the show before, but I am extremely excited about this because I have recently been doing some research on various companies because we get contacted all the time being registered investment advisors. People contact us about new products and new services that come out. And I'm not a big fan of tying up funds in annuity products, particularly if they have cap rates of 5%, because as I've discussed since the turn of the century, if you tied your money up into that kind of a product, your real rate of return, even though you never would have had a losing year, your rate of return would have been right at 4%, right about what the Dow Jones has done. So I've not been excited about having money tied up for that length of time, earning that little bit of interest. However, I recently discovered a product that is a 10-year product, but has no fees or charges, so it's 100% your money goes into the market. You can pull out 10% of your principal and earnings every year. And I ran the numbers back on this, and actually for the last 10 years, that portfolio produced a 7.49% return. Now, three of those years, it didn't make any money because the market was down and it was flat. So you didn't lose any money. You didn't make any money. But the fact that the caps are removed, it is a great opportunity to also use it as an investment vehicle because the caps are not as restrictive as most of them that I've seen. They have a 5% cap. Well, even if you don't lose money 1 year, the next year the market goes up 10% and you only make 5%. Well, for 2 years, you made 2.5%. That's not exciting to me. But when I see a product, and I've started talking to my clients about this product, and if you're interested about having some money that has market-like returns, but you will never have a risk on your principal, I can stand 7.5%. And in fact, I ran it back and did a research thing on it, went back for the worst 10 years, and it was about 6.25%. So if you can invest in the market without losing any money, you can sleep at night, your pillow can hit your head can hit the pillow, and you don't have to worry about losing principal.
Hey, I got a question for you, Chuck. I've seen within the last couple months an advent of a number of large U.S. companies wanting to buy out with a lump sum their retirees' pensions. And seems like there's been a wave of these, and is there a particular reason that the companies are doing that? It seems to me when you get that package in the mail, it benefits the company, but
there's no question about it. In fact, I have a couple of clients of mine right now that we're doing an analysis for them on their pension buyout, and as you can probably guess, there is no way you're going to beat leaving that money with them at the pension. The problem is, What I think they're telling you is, look, we have this pension liability, and we're not going to be able to maintain it.
Yeah. Someday we're going to be. Yeah. We're there. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But someday there's going to be a bankruptcy, and all of this is going to be restructured. And guess what? We're making you an offer you shouldn't refuse.
Well, people need to understand that your pensions in private companies in America, there is a government insurance program that backs them, but it only protects 35% of the funds. And that thing is just about broke because of all the previous pension failures. So, you know, not only do we have a crisis in America on private pension plans, and you know, people need to wake up and quit listening to news people talk about the markets and stuff and really look at the earnings they're making. Do you think these companies make all this money? And they have all this money in the pension plan, and they can just pay these benefits out of the sky? When I just got through telling you that the S&P over the first 14 years of this century made 3%, hey, look, they're in trouble. There's a lot of pension plans in trouble. There's a lot of government retirement plans in trouble. You know, PERS in our state, they've done a Band-Aid approach, but I got news for you. They're going to have to do more.
Well, you know, and the problem is that they just had that recent Supreme Court case, which basically held that it was PERS was a contract with its workers, and what had happened was that in one of the legislative sessions, the Governor Kishaber and others tried to impose some changes and, you know, prospective changes in the way that the system was going to work. And Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. This is a contract with your workers. It's a, you know, well, the problem there is, you know, does the state go bankrupt? I mean, they do under some circumstances. And I've never been around a state that did that, so I don't know exactly how it works. But I'm wondering if they have the same kinds of things, because, you know, when a company goes bankrupt and they have these kinds of pension plans and they happen to be a contractual obligation, they have ways of either restructuring or getting out of them. And so I don't know whether that's the same for the states, but I'm going to guess it's something like that. So, you know, bankruptcy could be a bad thing for a state as well. So,
well, I can tell you, if we have the kind of recession that I think we're going to have for a long-term recession, there's going to be a lot of states are going to be needing to restructure. There's going to be a lot of private companies going to be needing to restructure. And, Kevin, I looked at the numbers of my client, and I can understand when the company went on the hook for him at 60 years of age to take his pension and to draw that out over the next 30, 35 years, they're going to need an awful big pot of money. And, you know, the fact is the markets have not returned the returns people are thinking. And I just totally go, when I hear people talk about running a business that never ran a business, and I'm talking about some of the politicians right now talking about changing capital gains tax, changing things, they haven't got a freaking clue how this country runs. And I'll tell you what, you take away the advantage of capital gains, and why would anybody in their right mind take a risk and invest long term? You'd be an idiot. You'd be a total idiot. And so if that happens and that changes, you're going to see a screeching halt. Yeah, and some people want to see a screeching halt to Wall Street. But I'm telling you, the thing that's made this country great is the fact you can be a poor person, you can go out and start your own business and become a billionaire, and there's no other place in the world you can do that at. If there is, let me see it. I don't see it. I don't see anybody trying to get to Australia. I don't see anybody trying to get to England. I don't see anybody trying to get to France. I sure as heck don't see anybody trying to get to Germany right now. You know, if you're a young person, you want opportunity, the place to create and the place to grow is in America. You take that away, and voters out there, you better listen. You vote for somebody that wants to restructure. We've already restructured this country. We see where that's going. We're at $18.3 trillion in debt, getting worse every day. We gotta back the truck up here and say, wait a minute. We need to quit decentivizing people to work and put the incentive on people working and creating. People who work and create jobs. That's growth in the economy. Paying people a government check to not work is not growth in the economy. And I would debate any politician who says it is. I'll be happy to debate you live on TV, and we'll go through the numbers. You just try to prove that unemployment checks create economy. They don't. They're a drain. They're a drain on the system. They're a drain on the economy. We're better off to get people to work and helping them. You know, a hand up instead of a handout is a lot better. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified and Carl's comments.
We do Investing Simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do invest. Investing Simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Do Investing Simplified.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Carl Jepson with Carl's comments today. And after following Chuck, I guess I'm going to have to get a little bit more mundane. You know, after all, I am a lawyer, so that's what we do. But anyway, one of the things I like to talk about in my Carl's comments is, you know, something that came up in my practice in the last week or two, just to highlight some of those things that may be important to, you know, the everyday, you know, person who has estate planning or needs to do some estate planning. And this one is really kind of one of those common sense sorts of things, and it comes from the notion of, you know, settling your affairs or getting your affairs in order. And a lot of times people think primarily about, you know, getting estate planning documents and things like that done. But here's a couple of the things that I'd really like to highlight for you. And this is something that anybody can do. It doesn't cost any money. It does cost you a little bit of time, but it's just extremely important. If you want to, you know, make it easier for your loved ones when you pass away, this is one of the best things you can do for them, and that is to get stuff organized. So, number one, if you have or can have prearranged funeral and burial plans, I applaud that, because it makes it so much easier for even if you just select the place, you know, or have a burial plot or whatever it might be. Anything that you can do to minimize the number of decisions that your loved ones have to make is a tremendous benefit. I can't tell you how, you know, if you've ever had a loved one who passes away, you run around trying to figure out how to do all these things. And one of those things is get the burial and funeral things done. And if you have that already done, that's a really good thing. Number two, a lot of times one of the big hassles is, who's going to get the personal property items? Who's going to get the antique clock? Who's going to get the china? Who's going to get the old flintlock rifle that's been passed on down since Davy Crockett shot the bear with it? And, you know, those kinds of things are really important, and they cause a lot of grief unless you've done what you should do, which is have a list of stuff as part of your estate plan, which designates who gets those special items. So that's number one. There you go. Number two, and this is really what I think is perhaps the most important thing, is have your papers organized. okay, your computer organized. Either way, however you do that, it's fine. Make sure that your financial statements show your current financial statements. In other words, bank statements are from banks that you still use. Brokerage statements are from companies that you still use. Throw away the other ones or put them aside. You know, your current stuff.
Shred them.
Keep your current assets and those statements somewhere where your loved ones can find it, so that they can find out what they're doing. The second thing is, likewise with your advisors. If you've got an attorney, if you've got a CPA, if you've got a financial advisor, if you've got anybody else, make sure that you have a list of those advisors and their current address and telephone number, and ideally what they are managing for you, if anything. So those are really important. If you have physical keys to safe deposit boxes, make sure people know where they are, the people that are supposed to know anyway. And likewise, if you keep all of your records on your computer or in the cloud, as it were, make sure that whoever's supposed to fix those things for you at the time that you die knows what the passwords are, or at least knows where they are, you know, so they can find them. I recommend paper. I'm sorry. I like paper. Ideally, there'd be a little box that says, when I die, open this box, and all of that stuff would be in there. The keys, a list of the passwords, a list of the advisors, and what your investments and assets are. And then finally, clean out your garage. You know, that's really the really hard thing to do at the end of the day. So clean out the garage, like I've done it. But nonetheless, I'm just saying what you can do for your loved ones. And that's kind of Carl's comments. Be organized.
You know, Carl, and part of those comments is to save a lot of problems for your heirs. Do make a list of items that you want to go to certain people. Then all the little things about and try not to, as long as you still got your sound mind, that you don't give the same sub thing to three different people, because that creates a real problem down the road.
And it happens all the time. Mom told me I had the grandfather clock. Yeah, well, Mom told me the same thing. Well, Mom loved you better, you know. So whatever.
It's important to have a list. It really is.
It is. It is.
Isn't it easier just to let your beneficiaries clean out your garage, though? I mean.
Well, yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. Yeah. I'm saying if you really, really want your beneficiaries
to
have.
Them.
Yeah, if you really care about them, you want to do that. So, yeah, right.
Well, you know, and to even take it a step farther about, you know, funeral planning is really important. Because so often when somebody dies, there's so much stress going on, and the fact you lost a loved one and you have to do all those things. If it's pre-done, it's much better. Of course, if it's a young person, that's pretty hard to pre-do it. But if it's an older person, they should really have that all done. And the other thing I recommend for clients is if you have long-term care or if you don't have long-term care, you ought to state clearly to your heirs how you want your assets used to take care of your long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is becoming a more and a more prevalent thing. One out of four people it is going to affect. And you want to decide. If you want to be in the Taj Mahal, then you want to be in the Taj Mahal. If you want to be in just a regular nursing home, then that's fine too. But at least you ought to tell your heirs how you want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely, or guidelines and things like that. But it is amazing how this comes up all the time, and it is one of those areas that creates a lot of stress for the people who are left behind. And I recommend pre-planning a little bit.
It sounds like a lot of work, but usually it's the work is in getting your process in place. And once you have a process of organization, then mm-hmm. it's not so bad. It's just easy maintenance.
Well, the hard part is, like you talked about cleaning the garage, the hardest part about cleaning the garage is starting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get started, then it becomes kind of an easy task, and it's the same thing with organization. Once you get started, it becomes a little easier, but it's that making that first move is the hard one.
Well, that's right, and like you said with the paperwork, a lot of it has to do with shredding. I mean, I think in today's world, people tend to keep a lot more stuff than they probably need. There are certainly things that you might want to keep over time, but as a practical matter, there are a lot of things that are easy to get somewhere else if necessary.
Well, but, you know, one of the things I have some clients that are quite elderly now, and I have to go see them at their house. And one of the things I do for them, I was just thinking about a really nice lady who's been a client of mine for about 40 years, and I go to her house every quarter just to kind of keep touch with her and stuff and make sure she's okay. And we go over her investments and stuff, and she always just leaves everything in her book for me, and I just take it back to my office. We have a commercial shredder, and I take it back and I shred it for her. And I just told her, I said, listen, I don't want you worrying about it. You got enough things in your life to worry about. You know, I'll pick it up from you, we'll take it, and we'll shred it. And that's what I do for her, because I don't want that stuff laying around her house. Mm-hmm. And so each quarter I do. And fortunately, now she's got a daughter that lives real close that can help her, which is one other thing, too. I would really encourage seniors. You know, sometimes you got to ask for help. And some people are pretty independent. They don't like anybody butting in their business. But as we get older, there are things you can't do that you used to be able to do that sometimes you need the help for, and you got to just do it.
Yeah, and that's very common too. And I understand that. I mean, no one wants to feel like they're, as my mom used to say, losing their marbles, or losing a step. You know, I mean, you might even be losing a step, not your marbles, but either way, it makes it difficult or more likely that you'll make some error. And it is important to get things organized and then to keep that organization good. But like you said, we often at the firm, a lot of times people will come in and they'll have an existing estate plan book, and it's, you know, it dates back to 1992 or something. And what a lot of people do is when they get new stuff or different stuff, or stuff that's related to it, they stick it in the book, and a lot of it is no longer relevant at all. And so a lot of times, if they come to ask us to, you know, review the book and also to you know, maybe do some updates or an amendment or whatever it is, we'll take the book like you did, and we'll take all the junk out and shred it for them, and then they have a restarted book, I guess you might say. So,
well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified and the Tax Investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-7626, toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello. Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Coulson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we would like to entertain your questions or your comments. I know Chuck gave a rousing intro segment that was sure to spur some thoughts or some comments. You can at least call and tell him he's crazy, like he said here on the break. So anyway, definitely give us a call, 503-417-7626 or 800-990-0750. And we'd love to hear from you. Well, Chuck, I see here on Fox Business reported on a report of the 10 largest economies in the world per capita and the number of working hours per week that each of those 10 largest companies or countries, the people log. And of course, the U.S. tops the list. About 32 hours, about 34 and a half hours per week is the average work week for the U.S. worker. Now, that includes all part-time people. When you take the part-timers out, most full-timers work about 47 hours a week. And of course, we're by far number one in this list. The bottom of the top 10 is Netherlands at 26.6, so a full day less of working per week for the Dutch.
Sort of tiptoe through the tulips?
Well, you know, it's Kevin, it's kind of one of those things that we've discussed on here before with Dan and Ronnie Johnson about the fact that America is the best of the worst. We're running about 105% of debt to GDP, and the rest of the world is over 200. Mm. So, yeah, we're the best of the worst, but a lot of those countries are probably in a very similar situation to Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, our numbers on this report are a little low because of the involuntary part-time workers, people who would want to work full-time but do not have full-time work available to them, and so that is why unemployment is at its 42-year mm-hmm. low. Right now,
we got a caller, Jim, on the line. Jim, you got a question about portfolio?
Yeah, I just tuned in when you were wrapping up on the portfolio that had an annual return of 7.25%.
Yeah, actually, 7.49.
7.49. That's better than 7.25. But I didn't catch the name of that portfolio.
Well, I didn't give it over the air. You'll have to give me a call, and I'll tell you what it is on the phone.
Okay, great. I didn't know if you'd mentioned it or not.
No,
okay, well,
I didn't mention it because there are certain disclosures and stuff I need to give to you to go into that. And I'm just talking about the highlights, but I could give you the full scoop on it if you want to give me a call and at my office at 503-253-3000, and I'll be happy to email you stuff and give you information.
There we go. Okay, thanks, Chuck.
You bet, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Great question, and just got to make sure I follow all the procedures.
Yeah, even with we all got strings attached, and so that's a good thing. So that the involuntary part-time workers that is what has led us to our 42-year low in unemployment. So even though that looks good, I don't follow all of the political wrangling so much, but I do know that I believe it was a Republican candidate said at one point that Americans want to need a longer work week, and of course that was construed that hey, we need to make our workers work harder, but it's because people want more hours. Yes.
Well, I want to clarify something, Kevin. When you mentioned a 42-year low in unemployment, one of the deceiving things that we always say in our business, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And one of the things that we've done in this country and done a great job of doing it is duping people. Because when you say a statistic like that unemployment's lower, we also at the same time, we have the least amount of Americans percentage-wise working that we've had in 37 years.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know how you equate those two, but to me, they're 180 degrees apart. They're just the opposite. So what is it? Do we have more people working? Do we have less people working? Well, if we look at it that way, we've got less people working percentage-wise. But the unemployment number's down. How's that work out? That's like saying 2 and 2 is 5. It's not 4 anymore.
That's right. So, as promised last week, continuation from the week before, we're going to just talk a little bit and wrap up our conversation about how to prepare an Oregon estate tax return. We got through how to value your assets, how to assemble that inventory. We can go on ad nauseum about how to value assets. We didn't even talk about you brought something to my mind, Carl. Digital assets. I mean, that's something new that's coming up that we're having to consider. So anyway, we're past that. One thing that people don't know is you do have to assemble debts and liabilities and such things as mortgages and things like that. That's a reduction in your gross estate. That's a simple balance sheet accounting. And so assembling any debts that the decedent may owe, that's another step in the process here. Funeral expenses. This is the only place that funeral expenses get to be deducted. People always ask, hey, we, put this together, how much can we deduct? Only on the Oregon or the federal estate tax can you deduct funeral expenses. What a lot of trustees or executors don't know is when a person passes away and now you're in charge of their estate, you basically have a small business that you have to keep track of until those assets are distributed. And so you really need a good estate checking, a checkbook, a check register. There's so many different types of deductions that we can take on like a 1041, a state income tax return and stuff, that we typically don't ask for amounts. We just say, give us the check register. We'll go and pick out what's deductible for the 1041, the income tax, and what's deductible for the Oregon 706. So definitely a good accounting system. It's not quite as extensive as a business, but you do have to keep track of income and expenses. So next, and this can be one of the more difficult things, even though it sounds simple, is getting the name, address, and social security number of all the beneficiaries, or if it's a charity, the EIN. That's not too difficult anymore, but the beneficiaries can cause trouble, as Carl is nodding his head, especially if there's some acrimony between.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. If the trustee is not well-liked, the likelihood that you're going to get the objecting beneficiary to provide their social security number and date of birth is tough.
Yes.
It's an interesting question because years ago I had we had an estate, and there was this guy that lived out in the middle of Montana somewhere, and we were going to give him a bunch of money. The estate was going to give him a bunch of money, and he not only did he refuse, he said, "I don't have one." He said, "I don't have a social security number," and And I well, how does that work? Well, and then he wanted this explanation. I went, well, that's just okay, great, whatever. I said, but just understand that if we send you this money, you know, it's your problem, not mine. Yeah. You know, and so we ended up sending it to him, but you know, I thought that was kind of a one of those things that was just waiting for the IRS to walk in and say, "Hey, you're on the radar now, buddy."
I would say only in Montana, but it's not only in Montana. There's other places for that. So I will. And you also have to know how much is, or a lot of times your accountant or your attorney is going to figure out how much is either a specific bequest or a residual percent. Or a residual amount that goes to the charity or the beneficiary. So that has to be calculated. And next, I'm going to talk about one of our favorite things, alternate valuation. Now, what is alternate valuation? Here you've just spent all your time assembling the day-to-death assets and the day-to-death valuation. You've established the documentation for it. You know what everything is worth. And now this question comes up that says, do you elect alternate valuation? And that's it, yes or no.
Is this like an altered state of mind?
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. Well, alternate valuation is a mechanism that helps limit your estate tax. You can only do alternate valuation, elect it, if it lowers your estate tax. And what the purpose of it is what if on the date of passing, your stock's portfolio just happened to have taken a spike that day? And then the next day or 2 days later, it's back down to where it could have been, should have been, has been historically. So alternate valuation is basically you look 6 months down the road from day to death and you revalue everything. And if you sold an asset before that 6 months, then that sale price becomes the alternate valuation amount. And so you revalue everything, and if it's ends up being less tax, you owe less tax. You select alternate valuation, you put the alternate valuation amounts down, you do some other things on the return so the taxing authorities knows what's going on. And people ask why it takes us so much time and effort to finish an Oregon 706 or a federal return for that matter. So alternate valuation, definitely take a look. It can be a benefit and should be looked at. Next in Oregon, we have this, and this will be my last thing before we wrap up this. And again, this is a very cursory look, but before we go to a break here, natural resource credit. And that is when you have an Oregon asset that's a farm, fishing, or agriculture, or forestry, it constitutes over half of your estate value, then you get a credit for Oregon on that, and it's up to 15% of the value. So that needs to be looked at also.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back with Investing Simplified. If you got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750. Investing Simplified, we'll be right back.
Say goodnight to me.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is our free-for-all session where we talk about the Knowledge Trust. We talk about maybe some things that we've been talking about in our last week in the business and stuff, what's happened in the going on. And I can tell you that, you know, looking at the economy with the volatility of the economy, this is a time for people who have very conservative portfolios. There's a lot of we got a call here. We got a question. Gene is on the phone. Gene, are you there?
Yes.
You got a question about probate?
Yes, I do. I just wondered if people have to, when they make a will and they leave everything to one person, do they have to put it through probate?
Well, actually, that depends on who that person is in part and how their assets are structured. If all of the assets are owned by that person in their own name only, they're not jointly owned or anything like that, and there's no beneficiary designation type thing on the property, then yes, there would have to be a probate to transfer the assets. If a person is a spouse and they're owned as husband and wife, as a general rule, those assets would pass without any probate. But in order to make a will effective, the will only does something until it goes into the court for probate. So in other words, if you've done something outside a will, like a living trust or other than that, you can skip the probate. But there is a common misunderstanding, I think, that because I have a will, I don't have to go to probate. And the answer is no. You do have to go to probate for anything that the will does. As a practical matter, the only way you avoid the probate is by either joint ownership, beneficiary designation, or some kind of a trust.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good question.
You bet.
Gene.
Good question.
You know, just so our listeners know, we are available. The three of us do speaking engagements for. In fact, we did one this last week for a church for a lot of their members and talked about estate planning, investing, and taxing, and how do you plan your taxes for retirement. And we are available to do that. And, you know, one of the questions, Carl, that almost invariably always comes up is this question that Gene asked, because one of the most misunderstood things, and you and I encounter all the time in our estate planning seminars, is people thinking that just because they have a will, they do not have to do probate.
Right.
It's probably one of the most misunderstood things. We hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I had a case years ago that came in that the people actually operated on that belief. So person dies, owns a number of rental properties, and proceeds to just continue to operate them, but then a sort of you know, does all this sort of thing. And about 5 years later, decides that they're going to sell one of the properties. And turns out that, guess what? They found out all of a sudden that they had probate, and they hadn't kept any kind of records to do anything. And in fact, it got so goofed up that there was another lawyer in another city that was trying to do the probate and got so frustrated with trying to get records and stuff that basically said, I can't do this. I'm resigning. And so somehow they ended up in my office, and I sort of figured a way to finesse around the lack of records, basically by persuading everybody in the world to sign off on a summarized and simplified accounting, and we got it finally resolved. But it ended up costing them a whole lot of money because it was just not something that was easy to do. So it was a perfectly innocent mistake. It was just a mistake.
Yeah, but the key thing here that I want our listeners to understand is just because you have a will does not mean you do not have to go through probate.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it just tells how you're leaving the stuff to somebody. Well, listen, I want to get right back to one thing I was going to mention there before the break, but about people who are invested in very conservative portfolios right now with the volatility in the market. If you're adverse to risk, and conservative portfolios we have are going to fluctuate anywhere from 3 to 5%. They could be down as much as 3 to 5%. If you can't stand any downside at all. Now, if you can stand it for 6 months to a year, you're much better off in a conservative managed portfolios because they've done close to 8% over the last 15, 16 years. But if you can't stand any volatility at all, you need to come talk to me because we can do something for you in that area. The thing is, when you understand risk-reward, there is no perfect investment. Anybody tell you there's a perfect investment? Doesn't exist. It's kind of like, I guess, Carl, a perfect contract. Somebody good enough can find a hole in anything.
That's why they're so long. It used to be that we used to have contracts like a earnest money agreement for buying a house was one page. Now they're like 40.
Well, back in the old days, you used to do it with a handshake.
Yeah, that's right.
That was your contract.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you?
We're at baker-colson.com. 503-666-5569.
Okay.
And Warren Allen is 503-255-8795.
If they want to email you, Kevin, how do they email you a question?
On our website.
Okay.
Go to our website.
Same with you, Carl.
Likewise,
okay.
warrenallen.com.
Okay. Well, you can find me at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, 503-253-3000. Our toll-free 877-50-PRICE. Make sure you call the right prefix there, 877-50-PRICE. And you can also get me on the web at askthefinancialdoctor.com. We also have a new site, but we have a little glitch on it, and I'm trying to get it worked out this next week, Chuck Price Free Books, where you can go online and get an ebook and read it for free. I have those available. Rocky DeFrancisco, who's an attorney, out of Ohio, has various books on there that he's offering on a free basis. So you can try those on the site. If you have a problem with it, please let me know. Also, if you're listening to the show today and you let me know, you can email me, askchuck@pfgwm.com. If you have a question about the show or anything, don't hesitate to email me. Thank you very much and have a great week. And guys, we'll see you in a week.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. We do investing simplified. Financial Group Wealth Management.
Financial Group. Wealth